All right, so we're on Daf Gimel today. So if you remember, you weren't here last night, were you, Rafi? Okay, so just briefly, the question we had last night, if a shor, if an ox gores and kills somebody's Eved Kanani, the Adon, the master, is entitled to a knas, a penalty of 30 shkalim. So the Gemara asked, can the master sell off the right to the knas? Meaning, the Eved is alive and kicking, nothing's happened to him. Can he sell off a future right that if in the event that the Eved is gored and killed, that this person will acquire the 30 shkalim? So in other words, like maybe he'll pay one shekel now and with a view towards getting, if it occurs, he'll get the 30 shkalim. So yesterday we spoke about it's talui, or it may not be talui. We spoke the sugya of whether a matna adam debarshlo baliolam, can you sell something that's not in the world yet? So the Gemara said, even though there's a machloket over there, but the stadim here might be different. Because even Rav Meir, who holds Adam Machne Dabar Shelo Baal Yolam, Rav Meir says that a person could sell something that's not yet in the world, but he means something like Dekel Perotah, the date palm tree exists. Every year it comes off with dates. So Rav Meir holds, you could sell those dates. But here, it's much more speculative. In other words, if it's October, then I'm expecting the dates to come in April. But they come like the sun rises. They come every year. So Meir holds, I can sell the Perot Dekel. But here, with this Eved, I don't know if he's ever going to get gored. And even if he does get gored, the person, the owner of the ox, could admit that he gored, in which case he's patur from the Knas. So it's very, very speculative. So even Meir, who holds over there that a person could be Makad Devar Shlubal Yolam, here he might not hold that way. Conversely, even the Chachamim who hold that a person cannot be Makna Devar Shlo Baal Yolam, that might just be because nothing exists in the world yet. In other words, the date's not yet in the world. Here, though, the Eved is alive and kicking. The shor is around. It means even if the shor is not yet born, it means the potential exists at any moment that he could get gored. So here, perhaps, maybe the Chachamim would hold that way. Anyway, that's the question that we had from yesterday. So we're on Mem Gimel Aleph, on line 5. So how do we resolve this dispute or attempt to resolve it? So Amar Rabbi Abba says, Tashma, we learn a Braisa. Now the Braisa is going to quote a Pasuk. If you remember, there's a Pasuk in Parshat Emor. It says, V'kohen tikna nefesh kinyan kaspo. It says, something like that. So if a Kohen acquires a slave, Kinyan Kaspo, the Eved Kanani can eat Truma. You, the Kohen, can eat Truma, and the Eved Kanani can eat Truma. And Vilid Beito, if he has an Eved that's born into his household, they can also eat the Truma. That's what the Pasuk says. So let's see, the Braisa is going to analyze this Pasuk. So it says, Tashma, Vilid Beito, it says Vilid Beito, but the Braisa quotes Vilid Beito. Vilid Beito, Mantam Lomar, why does Torah even have to say Vilid Beito? He says, Im Kinyan Kesef Ochel, Vilid Beito Lokoshkein. If somebody that I acquire, in other words, was in a different getter, and now I acquire him, he can eat truma. So somebody who's born into my household, in quotations, could certainly eat truma. So he says, we buy a local shkain. So ilu kain. So if it would just say kinin kaspo, hayiti omer ma kinin kesef sheish bo shava kesef ochel. So I would think, in other words, if it's kinin kaspo, the Eved has some value, and I paid the value for him. He's the one who can eat. So I would think, left to my own devices, that he lead by it only if he has value could eat the truma. How do I know that even if he's worthless, how could he be worthless? So the Gemara is going to explain, let's say it's mupishchin, he's manuval, he's repulsive, nobody wants to have to do anything with him. So then it's enu shavet klum. How do I know that he nevertheless can eat truma? Tamalomar, you lead by it, me komakom. So the extra phrase, you lead by it, teaches me even a slave that has no value can eat the truma. He says, Vadayan and Yomir, you lead by it, bain sheish bo shava kesef, bain sheim bo shava kesef ochel. So I can still say, you lead by it, whether he has value or not, he can eat the truma. Kinin kesef, yesh bo shava kesef ochel, ain bo shava kesef ain ochel. But the kinin kesef, maybe he has to be worth something. Tamalomar kinin kasvo bilid beito, and it was sets up a hekesh. Ma'i lid bayit af pishen ushava klom ochel, af kinin kasvo af pishen ushava klom ochel. Okay, let's just think through what we just learned. Okay, so the question on the table is if a person, an Adon, can sell off the right to the slave, please turn off all the cell phones. Okay, an Adon can sell off the right for the Knas, that when the slave would get gored and could be killed. So the Gemara quoted a Brisa. The thrust of the Brisa is, the Torah teaches me that even a slave that has no value gets to eat truma. That's the thrust of the Brisa. I have two terms, kinyan kasbo b'lid beito. So what do you leave beito? You leave beito teaches me even if he has no value. And then what do I need? Then how do I know by kinyan kesef? So it's a hekesh with the kinyan kesef. It means even a slave that has no value can eat the truma. Now, let's see back in the Gemara. He says, he says, if I would think that a master could sell a servant, you know, in other words, the Gemara is going to say, how could I have a slave that's worthless if I could sell the right to Knas? In other words, every slave could be gored and killed by an ox. So every slave has some value because I could sell him, let's say, for the one shekel. Let's say a person on the market would pay one shekel for the right if he's gored and killed, I get 30 knas. So the Gemara is saying like this, if I would think that every slave has potential to be sold for the knas, is there such an eved that cannot be sold? In other words, here the Brisa that takes it, that the Torah is teaching me I could have a worthless eved. But if I have a right to sell a knas, how could it be a worthless eved? Every eved has that value. So the Gemara says, no, the Gemara says it could be that you can sell Knas, but it would be a worthless Eved, because Ika Eved Trefa, because the Eved could be a Trefa, he can have a physical defect, which is going to be fatal to him. So then, and under those circumstances, just like a person kills a Trefa, he's not Chayav Mita. So too, if a person has a Shor that kills an Eved and the Eved's a Trefa, so then there's no Knas. So it could be that the Eved is a Trefa, but it could be you could sell it. But still, even if he's a trefa, he still has some value because he could do light work for him, you know, bring him breakfast or something like that. So the Gemara says, no, the Brisa is going to be talking about a trefa whose maneuver like repulsive, or his mukashkin with boils. And Rabbi Leibowitz was thinking maybe it was like something contagious, whatever. But either way, nobody wants to have anything to do with this fellow. So you could have somebody who's worthless, notwithstanding the fact that you could sell the knas. So the Gemara never resolves this question. So again, let's just summarize what we did. Then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts and move on. So again, the question of the Gemara was, can a master sell the right to the future knas? In the event that the Eved is gored and killed by an ox, the master is entitled to 30 shekalim. That's knas. Knas is a penalty to the Torah, a set value that the Torah imposes. So can the master sell the right to the future knas? So the knas is 30 shekel, so maybe he'll sell it for one shekel. So the Gemara says that we learned this brisa. That came out, the thrust of the brisa was that an eved could be worthless. So the Gemara says, if the master has a right to sell knas, how could any eved ever be worthless? Because every eved has the potential to be killed by a shor, and then would have like something on the market to sell the knas. So the Gemara says, it could be the master has the right to sell knas, but the eved could be worthless. He could be a trefa, in which case there is no knas, but then he still could do some light work around the house, but he's manuval b'kushlin. Nobody wants to have anything to do with him. So he's totally valueless, food for the knas, for everything. That's what we're talking about. But the Gemara doesn't resolve it. So Rabbi Leibowitz said that the Rambam paskins, it's like motzi mechaver olavaraya. So if a person sold the right to the knas, so the person to whom he sold it would not be able to win in court, but if he was po-faced, if he seized it from the seller, then we wouldn't force him to disgorge it. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, let's say the master sold the right to the future knas, and then the eved is dead from the shore. So if the purchaser comes to Bezin, he does not win, because the most of them are lovariah. But if the purchaser seizes assets from 30 shkalim, from the seller, then we wouldn't force him to disgorge it. Okay? All right, now who's got questions, comments, thoughts, and anything we did so far? Go ahead, Rafi.
To sell the right,
to
sell the Eved.
No, we're talking about You're holding on to the Eved. You're just selling, you know, everybody holds I could sell an Eved. Everybody holds I could sell an Eved. But the question is, can I sell just the right to the future Knas? No, you could sell the Eved. You can sell whatever rights you have, you sell.
It's just, he doesn't get that right. You'll get better.
Okay. All right.
You have to pay for his burial. He's also a pope.
He's like a liability one. Yeah. All right. Yeah. First of all, the Gemara was not able to be mevarer whether I can sell the Knas. We didn't determine whether I could sell the Knas, but we said the halacha, it's a mosvik of a labraya. So lachlamaisa, it's not working out too well for the purchaser. But assuming arguendo that you could sell the right to the Knas, so then you could sell the Evan minus the right to the Knas. And then, all right, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, all right, so we're six lines above where it gets wide. In the Gemara, 43a, six lines above where it gets wide. So he says, Ibailu, the question is asked in the base medrash, Yishto chesu ever chesu ben chorin. So this is the case that we spoke about in the Mishnah. You have a half Eved, half ben chorin, half slave, half free. Shekidesh bat chorin. He went over to a Jewish woman, fell in love with her as Makadeshur, and she accepted it. Mahu. So what's the status of the parties? In Timsal Omar, then Yisrael Shamar Labat Yisrael Hikachi Lechetzi Mekudeshet. So the Gemara Masech Kedushin on Dav Zion quotes halachot from Rava. Rava over there says, if a man says to a woman, Hikachi Lechetzi, I want you to be Mekudeshet to half of me. So the Gemara learns, Rava learns that she is Mekudeshet to all of him. And that what he meant was, I may marry another woman. That's what he said. She's a fatig. So the Gemara says, in Tinsel Omar, if you conclude, then Yisrael Shamar Labat Yisrael Kach the Chetzi Mekudeshet, if you conclude the way Rabbah does, Masech Kedushin of Zion, if a man says to a woman, you know, Robert, it helps a lot to look at the words and see it inside. It's four lines above where it gets wide, but try to follow along as I read, okay? So, Hikachi the Chetzi, Yimekudeshet to half of me is Mekudeshet, the Chazi Lakula. But there, she's re'ui to be married to all of them. In other words, that's the way we're going to construe it, but she could legally be married to all of them, and that's the way we construe it. So he says, Ahalo chazi l'kula. In this case, it's not necessarily comparable. He says, he's half Evan, half Ben Horin. He says, Harei Mekudeshetli. So it's not exactly the same of Hikachi l'chetzi. It's Hikachi l'chetzi because the half of me, but he means, like, I'm going to take another wife. But there she has potentially married to all of them. She's married to all of them. Here you can't do that. Imtim Salomar, then Yisrael Hamakadish Chatzi Isha in the Mekudeshet. So the Gemara has another case which we want to make it comparable to, and that's also in the Gemara Kedushin Dav Zion. If a Ben Yisrael, a free Jew, and it was a regular Jew, is Mekadish or Chatzi Isha. In other words, he says, I'm a Kaddish you, she's also totally free. But he says, I'm a Kaddish. I'm a Kaddish half of you. Well, that's the question. So, ain't a Mekudesha. So there, Rava says she's not Mekudesha because what would the interpretation be that she could have another man? And you can't do that with marriage. But there, it's the Shir B'Kinyano. In other words, there, he's limiting his kinyan. I'm marrying half of you. He says, V'ha'eved lo Shir B'Kinyano. Here, he's trying to do the maximum he can do. So again, we have two cases in the Gemara and Kiddushin which deal with halves, but neither one seems to be, you know, perfectly identical with our question here, where you have a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, but Kaddish Bat Chorin. So what's the halacha? So the first wide line on Mem Gilmud Aleph. So Tashma, so we quote a Braisa, and this Braisa I think we had yesterday. It says, Hey, meet me, Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. If the shore kills of a half Eved, a half Ben Chorin, between Chatzi Kanas the Rabba, but Chatzi Kofor the Yorsha. The Tana of the Braisa says the owner of the shore will pay half of the Kanas to the master, to the Adon, and half the Kofor. If the shore kills a regular Jew, he has to pay Kofor. And there's a question, Meimazik to Meinizik, but assuming it's to Meinizik, be the value of the person that they killed, but half the Kofor will give to the Yorshim, to the heirs of this person. If you assume that a Misha Chatsi Eved and Chatsi Ben Chorin cannot be Mekadosh and Isha. Now he's half Eved Kanani, so he can't be Mekadosh and Isha. The Vayomer Kiddush of Lach Kiddushin, Yorshim Nale, how would he ever earn a Yorshim? The Braisa says that half the money you're going to give to the Yorshim. So if he can't be Mekadosh to anybody, how is he going to have any Yorshim? So the Gemara wants to say, Lechora, that that's a proof that he could be Mekadosh a woman. So Amar Rabbah Barava, Sha'asa'o, Shreifa. So Rabbah Barava says, no, perhaps we misunderstood the Braisa. When the Braisa says, hey, meet, that the Shor killed somebody, doesn't mean he actually killed him, that the person is dead. The Shor made him a Shreifa. Means he gave him a lethal wound, but he's still alive. In other words, we learned in the Gemara, treifa really means that there are, remember we learned all the treifas in an animal. So remember there were like really 18 on the Torah level, which the Rambam divides up into 70, but there are serious physical defects that the shor causes that the person's going to die. So he says, Shasa o treifa, umay yorshav, what does the Tana mean when he says that half the kofar will give to the yorshav, to the heirs, nafshe? It means, it doesn't mean to his heirs, his physical heirs, means you're going to give it to him because he's halakhically dead already. And so you're going to give it to him, and it's calling him Yorsha because he's Yorshing himself. So he says on the third, so if that's the shot, the Braisa, so then this Braisa is not in any way probative of the issue that we were discussing. So we're not dispositive of the question we were discussing. So Amar Rava, Shnei Tshuva B'Dava. So Rava said, I have two rebuttals to that line of argument. Chad of Yorshim Ketani first, Tanis is Yorshim. Don't give me this whole shtickle Torah that he's his own Yorish or whatever. It says Yorshim. Yorshim means you have an heir. And second, Va'od, Koferhu. We're talking about a Kofer, but Amar Reish Lakish, Kofer, and Mishtalim, and Allah Karmita. Reish Lakish says Kofer is only paid when the person is dead. So the Shloshim is coming for the Eved. So Rashi points out, let's look at Rashi. It's one line above where it gets wide in the Gemara text, but in the Rashi, around 20 lines to the bottom, but Kofer who Hula, if the Knas looks be mita elanagicha. So the Knas, it doesn't say that the Eved has to be dead, just he's gorged. That I say you made him a treifa, in Akinami, I can hear a new kimta, but the master gets half the Knas. Yaval but Kofer shall then according to the Hainit Isha Isha. By the kofar, the Torah says the shor killed somebody, dead. So you have to be dead for that. Anyway, the bottom line is this alternate pshat in the Braisa is falling through the wayside. Ella, so back in the Gemara, the fifth wide line, Ella Marava, Ra'uli told the Ela. Rava says the pshat in the Braisa means that he's Ra'uli, not the proof in this Braisa that he could marry, but he maybe didn't marry, but he's Ra'uli told, in other words, all things being equal, he legally is in a position where we would think he's entitled to it, but he doesn't get it. He does not get it. So he's out of gas with that. Okay? Now, Amar Rava, Shem Shemekadish Chatsi Isha, Enim Kudeshet. Now, so again, so we spoke about if a Ben Yisrael says to a Bat Yisrael, Hitkachi, no. If we said if a Mishachesu Evachaswar, Mishkadish Bakvor in Mahu, so the Gemara didn't really resolve it clearly. The implication of the Braisa, the way we had it just now, is that he cannot do that. He can't be Mekadosh Bachor. But the Gemara didn't clearly come to a conclusion on this. Okay, now, on the sixth wide line, Amar Rava, Shem Shemekad, what? No, wait. From before, anyway, he's an Eved Kanani. So his kids that he has before, I don't know if they're like miyuchas after him, but there's a question I think that Tosfos asked. It was sort of similar to what you're saying. One second. So Tosfos asked, maybe this is a little similar to what you're saying. Tosfos asked, can he have kids out of wedlock, which isn't the greatest, and he has no yorshin, but maybe physically. And then Tosfos says, the Yishlo Mor Sabar, six lines from the bottom in the last toast, folks. The Yishlo Mor Sabar Shasim eat the blah bar Kedushin who ain't been omid yache sakrab. So he says, if he had a child out of wedlock, the child in this case, where he's Chatsi Eved Chatsi Ben Chorin, would not be miyuchas after him. Lo dami la raya tafsba Kedushin la alma. Aval hai blah bar Kedushin who b'shamako may have been yache sakrab. So he wants to say, this person, he's not a bar Kedushin, the child is not miuchas after him. That's what the Gemara. Well, that's what Tosfos wants to say. Now, in terms of children from before, he's chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin. So I don't know how this would work. Whether it, like the how it works with that, but I'm not sure. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, the line, the 6-byte line from the top. Okay, Amar Rava, k'shem shemekadesh chatzi isha ainu mekadeshet. Just like when you're mekadesh. So here he takes it. Rabbi takes it if you're mekadesh. If I say Arayah mekudeshet lechetzeich, Rashi Rabbi takes it that she's not mekudeshet. He says ka chetzi shivcha bechetzi mekorin she mekadesha. So too, let's say I have a woman who's half shivcha, half mekorin, and she receives kiddushin from a regular Jew in kiddusha kiddushin. That's what he takes it. So misha chetzi eved bechetzi mekorin, and a regular Jew's mekadesh her. He takes it not. He says that it's not mekudeshet. Darsh Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Shem Shmekadosh Chatsi Isha Einu Mekudeshet, Chatsi Shivcha Chatsi Mekorin, Chatsi Einu Mekudeshet. Same idea. So Amrli Rav Chista, so Rav Chista says, Midami, how can you compare the two cases? It was one case we're comparing is where the person is Mekadosh Chatsi Isha. The person says to a woman, Arayat Mekudeshet Mechatsiye, half he was Mekudeshet. So that's one case that Rabba discussed in Kiddushin. So Rabbi said she's not Mekudeshet. Arayat Mekudeshet lechetzei, she's not Mekudeshet. And we want to make it sushtel from there that if a person is, that if a woman is chatzi eved, chatzi bar chatzi shivcha, chatzi bar chorin, also not Mekudeshet. So Amalei Rav Chista, so Rav Chista says to Rabbi, Midami, how can you compare, or he says it rather to Rabbi or to Rabbi Bar Rav Huna. He says, Amalei Rav Chista, Midami, hatam shir b'kinyano. He says, look, by Harayat Mekudesh Lechatzyeh, I wasn't Mekadesh everything that I could have been Mekadesh. In other words, like, it sounds like I'm leaving part of you over. Haka lo shir b'kinyano. Here, he's doing everything that he can do. In other words, he says, Harayat Mekudesh, it was your Mekudesh to the full extent that the law permits, your Mekudesh. So, Hadar Okim Rabba Bar Huna Amor Alei B'Darash. So, it sounds like he was speaking to Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So after this discussion with Rav Chista, so Rabba Bar Rav Huna, he had an Amora. You know, an Amora, again, so Amora, definition one, are the Chachamim from the time of the Gemara, but definition number two is a person who, like the Maggid Shir would speak to during the Shir, and he would say the drasha louder and more elaborate. So it's like he said, you know, like the Chidushi Reb Chaim, and then he's talking out loud. So Rabbi got Namara to make the following announcement, the Darash, and Rabbi Darsh as follows. So he began his Rasha by quoting this Pasuk in Yeshaya, in Isaiah. It says, this stumbling block is underneath you. So Rashi brings out the Sugya. It's talking about at the time of Anshei Yerushalayim, time of Churban, there weren't many Talmidei Chachamim around. So people would ask, you know, Hamach Shilah Zo Tachet Yadecha. Do you have that which people stumble on? Have you acquired it? It means a reference to the Torah. In other words, when you learn Torah, so first you stumble and you don't learn it quite right, and then people correct you and you're embarrassed, but you continue on. So Hamach Shilah Zo Tachet Yadecha, Eindam Omid Al Divrei Torah, Elkinishal Behen. A person doesn't get the very Torah, you know, the first time you don't get it, but then you get it unless you've got to work at it. He says, so he's saying this because he's saying he made a mistake. In other words, I said initially that if you're Mekadesh, Mechasi Shivcha, Chasi Bat Chorin, this is not Mekudeshet. Now he says, Afopisha Amru, Mekadesh Chasi Isha in Mekudeshet, even though Rabbi teaches me if I Mekadesh Chasi Isha, she's not Mekudeshet, about Chasi Shivcha, Mechasi Bat Chorin, Shinakasha, Kedusha, Kedusha. But here it would be good confusion. My tama, why? Hatam shir b'kinyano. When I'm kadesh chatzi isha, I'm like holding back from everything that I could be mekadesh. Hachalo shir b'kinyano. Here, I'm trying to do everything that I could do. So the Gemara is saying that our updated view is that if you have a misha chetzi shivcha b'chetzi b'korin, that a bar Yisrael could be mekadesh. Let's hold it for a few seconds. So Amrav Sheshet, Shem Shem Mekadosh Chatzi Isha in the Mekadeshet. Rav Sheshet says, just like a person who's Mekadosh Chatzi Isha is not Mekadeshet, Kachetzi Shem Mekadosh Mekorin Shem Mekadosh Ein Kiddushet. He's not Mekadeshet. So which is it? So we have an opinion that she is Mekudeshet, and another opinion she's not Mekudeshet. Let's say somebody whispers to you the final line of argument. Now he's going to say, we discussed already the Torah and Parsha Semor discusses the Shivcha Harufa. Shivcha Harufa, so one shot is Machloket Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel. Akiva says that that's talking about a Chatzi Shivcha, Chatzi Bat Horin, half free, half slave, and that the Eved Ivri was Mekadesh her, or a regular man was Mekadesh her, and then she's Mezana with somebody. She puts adultery in quotation marks. So that's Shivcha Harufa. She's not Chayav Mita, but she's Chayav this Korban Hashem. So what? No, Erusin. So it means like this. So here, so Bim Lakashcha Adam Lamar. So if somebody whispers to you, Ezui Shivcha Harufa, what's the case of Shivcha Harufa in the Torah? The case that we're talking about here. So in other words, we have a machloke. Can a bar Yisrael be mekadesh a misha chesed shivcha b'chesed bat korin? So Rabbi Bar Rav Huna's updated position is that you could, and then we said Rav Sheshit's position is you cannot. So Rav Sheshit says, and if you'll say to me, well, look, according to Rabbi Akiva, that's the case in the Torah of shivcha harufa. And Mamela, so I see I could. She was Muresa. So I see I could be Mekadesh, somebody like that. So Al Mabat Itrusahi. So I see that Chesed Shivcha B'Chasi B'Kurin is susceptible to Erisin. So he says, and Morlo, Shoshesha says, you should say to the person who is propounding that line of argument, Fakates to Rabbi Shmuel. So go to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds different system. Says, Shehu Omer B'Shivcha Kanani Amuresa, the Ivri. He says, the Torah isn't talking about Misha Chesed Shivcha B'Chesed Bat Korin. It's talking about a Shivcha Kanani Hamu'urasa the Eved Ivri. And every single Eved Ivri. The Shivcha Kanani Bat Etrusahi. So what are you going to say within the Tana Rabbi Shmuel? Can a Shivcha Kanani, can she, is susceptible to any Erusin? You can't do Erusin with a non-Jewish woman, which is what she is. She's in Shivcha Kanani, she's doing mitzvot, but she doesn't have a din of Bas Yisrael. What are you forced to say? What does Rabbi Shmuel mean when he says murasa? He says my mureset miyuchadet. He means designated. Not that she's legally mureset to this eved. She's designated. It was like the master designated them both to be together, and then somebody has relations with her. So hachanami my mureset miyuchadet. So saying the same thing within Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that a person's chesed shivcha chesed bat korin mureset leeved ivri doesn't mean mureset legally mureset. Means they're designated for each other. They're treating each other like sort of like a common law marriage. Not that there's like a abiding erusin between both of them. All right, let's pause for a second, and then we'll summarize. Then we'll take some questions. I just want to look at one thing. Give me 60 seconds. One thing. All right. So what the issue we were discussing is if I have a person who's Chatzi Shivcha, Chatzi Bat Korin, and a Bar Yisrael is Mekadesh her. A woman is half Shivcha Kanani, half freed, and then a regular Jew is Mekadesh her. Do those Erusin take effect or do not take effect? So we said we have it as a given if a person is Mekadesh a woman, Lechetzyeich, zero, not Mekudeshet. How does that play out for the half shifa, half bat korin? So on the one hand, it sounds at first blush a little bit similar, but it's not similar because when the person mekadesh lechetzyeich, he's not mekadesh everything he could be mekadesh. Here, the person is mekadesh everything he could be mekadesh. So which way does it cut? So we had that Rabbi Bar Rav Huna ends up saying finally that chesed bat korin, it is good kedushin. Because he's not Mishraya B'Kinyano. And Rav Sheshit says, no, this is El Bazach, and she's not Mekudeshet. And then Rav Sheshit says, well, maybe you'll ask me like this. We're Amoraim, and we're having an argument about this, but the Tanayim have an argument about Shivcha Harufa. Shivcha Harufa is a halakha that the Torah says in Parshat Emor. It says if you have a Shivcha Harufa, so that's Necharefet Le'ish. So it's a machloket what it means. So one opinion is that she was half Shifa, half Bat Korin. And then a Jew, either an Eved Ivri or a free Jew, is Mekadesh her. And then she's Mezana with somebody else. So the Torah teaches me she is not Chayav Mita, she has to bring a Korban Hashem. So, but I see that the kiddushin are effective because it's mu'reset, she's mu'reset. So maybe you'll say that's a raya, that you could be mekadesh. So I, Rav Sheish, say that's not a raya. Go within the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. What does Rabbi Shmuel say a shivcha harufa is? Shmuel says a shivcha harufa is just a shivcha kanani that has an eved designated to her. The master designated the eved ivri. They're like living together. And then somebody is, she's mezana with somebody. So he says, so Rabbi Shmuel says that she was mu'reset le'eved ivri. So does an eved ivri have erusim of shivcha kanani? Absolutely not. It just means miuchedet, designated. So in the same way, I, Rav Sheish, will say that's what Rabbi Akiva means. When he says mu'reset, it doesn't mean mu'reset, legally mu'reset, it means designated. Okay, so that's that piece of the matter. All right, one second. Okay, so who's got questions, comments to us, anything we did so far? Shifcha Charufa. It's a Shifcha Kananit that's designated. Totally slave. It's mu'reset le'evet ivri, designated to be with the evet ivri. The master designated them both to be together. And then she's mezana with somebody. That's the case. Okay? Okay, welcome, Daniel. Welcome. All right. Yeah.
If she's designated, what's the harufa? What? Is her boyfriend. Why are you calling that shifcha harufa?
Well, that's the Torah calls it shifcha harufa. Means... It's not marriage that you're chayvita, but it's like, yeah, they're living together. It's like a common law marriage type of situation. All right. Now let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, we're on two lines. Okay, now we're okay. So two lines from the bottom. I'm in Gimel Manala 43a. Two lines from the bottom. Okay. So Amar Rav Chista, Chesed Shivcha v'Chesed Bechorin Shidukach Ruvei. Now, Rav Chista takes it, but we had the question, could she be Mekudesha? He takes it that you could be Mekudesha. So Rav Chista says, Chesed Shivcha v'Chesed Bechorin Shidukacha L'Ruvein. Ruvein is Mekadesh, sure. Then B'nish Tachara, and then she's totally freed. So again, Ruvein is Mekadesh, this woman is Chesed Shivcha v'Chesed Bechorin. And then the master totally frees her. B'chaz Ruvein Mekadesh the Shimon. Then Ruvein's brother Shimon comes and is Mekadesh, sure. And then Umeitu Shneim. And then Reuben and Shimon both die. So it's Mityabemet Lelevi. So the halacha is, according to Rav Chista, this woman has to yibam with Levi as the third brother. Let's see on Amud Beis. One second. Turn page. One second. The Einani Koreba Eshet Shneimetim. I don't say that she has like the widow of two brothers. So it says, so the Torah says, you know, if somebody's living. One of them dies. So the Gemara learns, remember, we had this in Yivamot. Let's say I have three brothers, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. And Reuben dies, and then Reuben, and they're married to three unrelated women. Reuben is married to Rachel, Shimon is married to Leah, and Levi's married to Bilhah. And then Shimon does Mamar with Reuben's widow, Rachel. Reuben is dead. Shimon does Mamar with Rachel. And then Shimon dies. And now Levi, as he looks at Rachel, Rachel is sort of like connected to two of his brothers. She was the full-fledged wife, the Yavama, from Reuven, but she also did a type of Mamar, and then that type, she did Mamar with Shimon. Mamar is Kiddushin, but it's only on a Drabana level. So the Gemara learns she has to do Chalitza, can't do Yibam. She's not in the Parsha for Yibam, because she's connected to two of the brothers. So here the Gemara is saying, This case is different. This case, this woman is not connected to two brothers, even though Reuben did Kiddushin with her and Shimon did Kiddushin with her. He says, Manav Shach, he Kiddushin to Reuben Kiddushin. If the Kiddushin of Reuben are effective Kiddushin, he should Shimon love Kiddushin. In other words, he can't be married to two men. So if Reuben's anyone. So if Reuben's Kiddushin are effective, so then marriage to Shimon is a nullity. The Kiddushin to Shimon, Kiddushin, and if the Kiddushin of Shimon are effective, Kiddushin of Reuben love Kiddushin. Then Reuben's are not effective. Okay, now, Itmar, Chesed Shivcha b'Chesed b'Chorin, Shinikach l'Reuven. Now, let's say a Chesed Shivcha b'Chesed b'Chorin, Nidkach l'Reuven, Reuben does Kiddushin with her, B'Nish Tachra, and then she's emancipated. B'Chaz Reuven Nidkach l'Shimon, and now, she gets Kiddushin from Shimon. So it's the same topic, a similar case we spoke about before. So he says, here nobody's dying. Here nobody's dying. That's one thing. But we'll see who she married to. He says, Rav Yosef Bar Chama Rav Nachman, Pak Kedusha Rishon. So Rav Yosef Bar Chama says, the act of emancipation turns her into a new woman. In other words, like when you do Geirus, you're like a Yelet Shnolad. It's like a Tino Shnolad. You're like a child that's born. So notwithstanding, even assuming that she could be Mekudeshet, which is what we're assuming. So when Reuben is Mekadesh, this Chesed Shif Chesed Bar Chorin, but then the master totally frees her. So now she's like a different woman. So that's the end of the Kedusha. That's according to Rav Yosef Bar Chama and Rav Nachman. Rav Zeira Amar Rav Nachman, Gamru Kedusha Rishon. Rav Zeira Amar Rav Nachman says, no, the Kedusha, they expand out and then they take effect over all of her. So Amar Rav Zeira, Kavate Didi Mistabra. So Rav Zeira says, my opinion makes sense based on the following argument. Again, Rav Zeira holds that Gamru Kedusha Rishon, the Kedusha, like they grow out from it. And what does it mean? If you look at Rashi 10 lines down, says Gamru Kedusha Rishon. It would do two Rashis. Paku Kedusha Rishon. Even according to the opinion, says she is Mekudesha, that the first Kedusha were effective, but once the master frees her, it undoes it, and now she's Mekudesha L'Sheni. She's Nishtana Gufa. She's like a new being. What's that? The other opinion Reb Zeira holds. Gamru Kiddushin Rishon, that the Kiddushin mature into like a fuller Kiddushin. Idea Shechur Gamru, that up to now, if somebody had relations with her, so he be Chayav Korban Hashem and a Malkot, that's like the Shifcha Tarufa. Haya, I feel amazed. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So, Amram Zeir Kabatit Dimistabra, Dechtiv, Loyim Tu Kilo Kupasha. So, he's assuming that the case in the Torah, like Rabbi Kiva, he's talking about Chesu Eved and Chesu Bat Chorin. So the Torah says, longing to the adulterer and this woman, this Shifa, half Bat Chorin, shouldn't die, Kilo Kupasha, because she was not emancipated. So he deduces, Ha Kupasha Yum Tu. But were she to be emancipated, they would die. In other words, so he wants to say, what? The Torah says, if I have a Shifcha, who's a Chatsi Shifcha, Chatsi Bat Chorin, and an Eved Ivri was Mekadesher. So that's like Rabbi Akiva. So if somebody's Mezana with her, so nobody's dying. Nobody's getting a death penalty. Why? Kilo Kupasha, because she was not emancipated. But the Gemara makes a deduction, were she to be emancipated, they would die for this act. So that would be a proof. That would be a proof that if you have a Chesed Chorin and she's Mekadeshet, and then she's freed, that it matures into a full Kedusha. So Amalei Abaye, so by says Reb Zeira, L'tana Debei Reb Shmuel, the Amar B'Shifcha Kanadim Rest Levin Ivri, Achanam Dechit Kupasha Yum Tu. So he says, what are you going to say within Reb Yishmael? Reb Yishmael says it's just a Shifcha Kanadim which was designated Rest Levin Ivri. So what are you going to say now? If she would be freed, they'd be killed. It doesn't make any sense, right? On that side, it doesn't make any sense. He says Elamai Ilachameimar. What do you have to say? Shechusha V'Chazav Nekadra. It means, if she were freed, and if she were to be Mekabel Kiddushin, then under those circumstances, she would get the death penalty. So here too, I'll say the same shot. So when the Torah says, Lo Yum Tu Kilo Kupasha, nobody gets executed because she was not yet emancipated, it doesn't necessarily mean that were she to be emancipated alone, then they would be executed. It's saying, if she were emancipated, and then she accepts Kiddushin, then they would be, so we don't have any proof from here. Okay, now, a few more lines, and I'll pause at the Mishnah. Amar Huna Bar Katina Rav Yitzchak, Ma'asa Bishachat Shechas Shivcha B'chesi Bat Chorin, B'kafu Rava B'asa Bat Chorin. So, if you remember, the Mishnah we learned on Mem Aleph, which we did, I think, on Monday, was Mem Aleph, so we had about Machloke B'hil Beit Shammai, Mishchetu Ebe B'chesi Bat Chorin, so, in the end of the day, B'hil agrees with Beit Shammai, Kofin Rabo V'osoto Bat Chorin. We forced the master to free the slave. Why? Because otherwise he's caught betwixt and between, and he's no one to procreate with. Lo tobra le shevet yitzorah. So now, Rav Huna bar Kitzin Riyitzchak, there was an incident with one woman, who the woman now is Ches Shivcha Letz Bat Chorin, and they forced the master to make her Bat Chorin. So, Kiman, who, now, the simple pshat is, the Mishnah speaks about a man Because the man has a mitzvah peruravu. A woman doesn't have a mitzvah peruravu. But why, according to which opinion, were they forcing him to be freed, the woman to be freed? Because it was on the female side of the equation. Kaman krib yochanam and broka, damar shneim huomer, vayavarach v'tam lo kibayim v'gomer, peruravu malu v'gomer. So mistama, they were going like Tanar Yochanan and broka, who says that women are also mitzuva on peruravu. So she was not able to do anything with Puruvu when she chesed shifcha because of Akorin. She couldn't marry an Eved Kanani. She couldn't marry a Bar Yisrael. So they freed her. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak lo, minag hefker naguba. Nachman says, no, not necessarily. It could be, and they just freed her because otherwise she was acting promiscuously. In other words, she had nobody to mate with. You know, this is my husband, that's my husband, nobody's my husband. So she was acting loosely. So they freed her. They wanted to end this whole piece. Let me do a piece from the Aladah. Then we'll take some questions, comments, thoughts, and then we'll go on. Okay. All right. Well, I can't slow down that much. Now, the Gemara asks why the rabbis were concerned about this woman's inability to marry since women are exempt from the mitzvah of Priya Grivia. The Gemara answers that those rabbis acted in accordance with Yochum and Broka who maintains that women are also obligated to the mitzvah of Priya Grivia in Yibamon and Samachay. Alternatively, the Gemara says that in this instance, the Chassi Shifka was behaving promiscuously with Jewish men. Therefore, the rabbis demanded that she be freed in the hope she would marry and her husband would
hear you
and prevent such behavior. All right. Now, the commentators point out that the Torah grants special permission for an Eved Ivri to marry a Shifka Kanani to get additional Avedim Kanani for his master. See Kedushin Tetvav, and we'll see it coming up in a few weeks. Consequently, they ask why the Gemara says that a Chassi Shifka is restricted from marriage. In other words, if you look at Rashi, let's look at Rashi here. In last Rashi, minan hefker inogim ba biznut lo itam yuched ladam lo itam misham alat mishamer latzma. So she couldn't marry an Eved Kanani, and she couldn't marry a ben foreign, a Jew. So she's doing minan hefker. But why? Well, there's another possibility. An Eved Ivri is allowed to marry or, you know, to be together with this Shifra. So he says, a Chassid Shifra could marry an Eved Ivri, who has unique standing of being permitted to a Bas Yisrael as well as to a Shifra Kanani. In answer, the Maram Shif suggests that the incident related to the Gemara occurred after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the law of Eved Ivri is no longer applicable. So we had this in the Gemara earlier. Somebody in the basement just mentioned, there's an Asher Finkelstein in the basement mentioning. So it says that an Eved Ivri is only no egg when Yovel is no egg. In other words, when you have Yovel, it's din of Eved Ivri. Right? It says, va'avadoli olam, you have to have potential to be in Yirtza, then you work, olam means the olamoshal Yovel. When there's no Yovel, there's no Eved Ivri. So we learned that the Yovel stops when even in the turn of the first base of Mikdash, when Shevet Gad and Shevet Reuben, Chatzi Shevet Menashe went to Galus. So there's no more Yovel, so no more Eved Ivri. So the law is that today it's no longer possible for a Jewish person to be sold as a slave to a fellow Jew. Therefore, there was no maid available to the Chatzi Shifcha. Alternatively, the Marasha answers that an Eved Ivri is only permitted to marry Shifcha Kanani belonging to his master for the purpose of producing slaves for his master. But he's forbidden from marrying a Shifcha Kanani belonging to someone else. Thus, the Marasha suggests the master of this half Shifcha did not own an Eved Ivri, and therefore, the rabbis had no choice but to compel him to free her so that she could marry someone. Okay, so we have the whole piece with all of this. You know, let me just look for 1 second. So, all right, so we spoke about the Chassi Shifcha, the Chassi Bat Chor, and then let's say she accepts Kiddushin, and then the master frees her. So what goes on with those Kiddushin at that point? Either the Kiddushin are batel or they expand out. And that was a machloket. And then we have this last piece with the Ches Shivcha, Chatsi Bat Chorin, where there's an incident where they force the master to free her. So either they hold, like Rabbi Yochanan Baroka, that Shivcha Kanani is with Suban Piri Rivya, or no, it's just they've been on Hefker now. They had nobody to like mate her with, and she was behaving promiscuously, so they force the master to free her. Okay, who's the questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? That's not a machlokah, but a machlokah tanai. Machlokah tanai. Rabbi Yochanan and Broka holds that they aren't. I think the mainstream thinking is they're not. Okay, now, let's see further. Mainstream thinking is they're not. Okay, now, Matnitin. Hamokar Abdo of De Kokavim. The Mishnah on Mem Gimel 43b, the Mishnah. Matnitin. Hamokar Abdo of De Kokavim. If a Jew, he has an Eved Kanani. The Eved Kanani is going through Geiris. He's keeping Shabbos, Kashrut, and he's observing mitzvahs like a woman. But he, now this Jew, for whatever reason, sells the Eved to a non-Jew. Oh, Lechuslarz. Or he sells him to a master from Jew, but who's living outside of Eretz Israel. Yatzah ben Korin. The Eved automatically goes free. So Rashi explains, let's look at the Rashi. If the Eved flees from his first, from the boy, then if he comes under Jewish jurisdiction, then he's absolutely free. Or doesn't penalize the first master to go pay whatever it takes. I think even 10 times the value to get him out of there. Kedamar lekamen, the konsen otol of doto, usheyavdenu, and then when he's done redeeming him and paying his $1 million to get him free, lo yishtabi lo. So now he can't enslave him like he was before. Uknas kamen who hold the kiyomen of itzot. That's a penalty that's imposed because he acted so dastardly to sell him to a place where he can't keep Shabbos, can't keep kashrut. V'chein lechutz la'aretz yitzal lechayrut. And similarly, if a master, as a Reuben is a slave owner in Israel, he sells his slave to a slave master in France. He says, so the slave goes free. Because he forced the slave to leave Eretz Israel. Nice piece of Gemara for it. He says, the Gemara is going to discuss who do they penalize, the first master or the second master. But either way, the slave goes free. All right, let's see the Gemara. Yeah, so it means like this. He doesn't want to redeem him, but it means that master is either he's having hiruei tshuva, or he's under like the jurisdiction of the Jewish court, the Jewish things, and we're saying, yeah, he's got to do it. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, learn the Braisa, Amokar Abdul Obde Kokavim, if a Jew sells his Eved to a non-Jew, Yatzal Chayrut, he the Eved goes free, but Tzarif gets Shichur mi Rabba Rishon, but he still needs to get Shichur. Remember, the master has a kinyan mamon and a kinyan isur. Kinyan isur is not owned by the non-Jew. So the first master still has a kinyan isur on him. So he has to give him a shtar shichur, even though he's free or whatever. So amar shugaliyah, but memurim shtot ktav ono. That's only if the first master did not write an ono. We'll explain in a minute. But ktav ono, so shichur. Wrote ono, that's the shichur. So my ono, what's ono? Amar of shesha, tekatablay. Shesha says the master wrote a document and gave it to the erstwhile Eved, Hachi, Lashitibrachimenu, whenever you flee from your second master, I'm sorry I sold you, but when you successfully flee from him, Eli Esek Bach, I have nothing to do with you. That's the equivalent of Shtar Shekhur. Okay, so now, Tan Rabbanan, Lava Lava and Ovei Kokavim, this is a different case. So I have, Reuven is a Jewish slave owner, and he has his Eved Kanani, will be Tiberius. And then Reuven is short of cash. He needs to borrow money from the non-Jew. So he says, so he borrows money from the non-Jew and uses Tiberius the Eved as his security for the loan. Meaning so, once the non-Jew has done according to his regular manner with the non-Jewish slave, we'll see in a minute, the Eved goes free. So my meaning so, what does he mean his regular manner? So Amar Huna Bar Yehuda Nashki. Nashki means there's like a seal. It sounds like they would put, the Gemara is going to reject this in a minute anyway, but like a necklace around the neck of the slave with a seal on it. And that means that you're my slave, that type of thing. What? Well, he's saying once he puts that on him, then that's it. Well, he would do it at such a point in time, I assume, that he was seizing him, right? Or something like that. So he says, so it, once he does that, then he goes free. So Mati Rav Sheshet. So Rav Sheshet asked the Kasha, so we said Ninu So means this seal. So Mati Rav Sheshet, he posed a question from the following Brisa. Ha'arisin, the sharecroppers. Here we're talking about a Jewish sharecropper. Sharecropper, somebody works the land for a quarter, a third, or a half the crops. But the land is owned by the non-Jew in Eretz Israel. Ha'arisin. So the Jews are the farmers, the non-Jews are the owners. Ha'achaki wrote, this is the people who lease the field, not by a share. Let's say a certain, I'll give you 50 bushels of wheat, a set amount I'll give you. But Risei Batei Avod, Risei Batei Avod are, it's that goes on through the generations. You know, my father was a sharecropper to your father. It was the land, is like the non-Jews family and the Jewish sharecroppers. Ovei Kokavim, Shemeshkein Sadeh L'Israel. Or a non-Jew who needed to borrow money from the Jew and designated his field, Blackacre, in Eretz Israel as security for the loan. Even though the Jew acted according to the Nimuso, like the manners of the non-Jews with this land, it means each of these cases, this Tana holds that if a Goy owns land in Eretz Israel, he's Mafki of the Kedusha. So the he says, where is it? Yeah. So if you look on the first medium wide line in Rashi, this Tana holds that if a non-Jew owns land in Eretz Israel, he's mafkia miyad maaser, and it removes the obligation to give masrot from it. So I don't know about Shmita, but if maaser is mafkia. So he says here, so we had four cases in the Brisa, each one a bigger chiddush than the other one, but it culminates with the case where the non-Jew designated the field, and he says, even though he did nimuso, it's still a non-Jew's field. So he says, the Isak Kadaif of Mashki, if you assume Nimu So means he does like the seal, Sada Bat Mashki, the seal has no application to a field, so it doesn't make sense. So we scratch that pshat. That pshat's gone by the wayside. Ela Amrav Shesha Zaman. Rav Shesha says, what is Nimu So? It means a date certain was put in the documents. So we think the pshat is, we'll clarify, that if a... So the first price was the Jew borrowed money from the non-Jew, and there's a date certain. If he doesn't pay by a date certain, then his slave Tiberius belongs to the non-Jew. So then we think he goes free. That's what we think. We think it goes free right away. That's what we think. We'll see. And then similarly with the field, we'll have to touch this up. With the field, the non-Jew is borrowing money from the Jew, but he says that the field, if I don't pay this loan by X date, the field will be yours. But notwithstanding that, the field is still a non-Jew's field. So Elamar Shezman. So the Gemara says Kasha Zman Zman. But that's a contradiction to the Brises, because the first Brisa would mean once I put that document in with the time, so automatically title passes, right? In other words, I say in the first Brisa, the non-Jew is the creditor, and if there's a date certain listed in the loan agreement, and then the eved goes free immediately. So that's what we think. But with the land, when the non-Jew is the owner of the land, but if the Jew is the creditor and there's a date there, it doesn't belong to the Jew right away. So kasha zman is man. So lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Hadamat zmane, the first price is talking about the time came and arrived. So there was a date certain was put into the loan agreement. If I, don't pay this debt by this and this date, my Eved will be your Eved. And the date came and passed. So then the Eved goes free. He says, Hanulamata's money. But in the Brisa with the land, the time had not yet arrived. So if, in other words, if the non-Jew says, I'm borrowing this money from you, if I don't repay the debt by March 1st, this land is yours. But March 1st has not yet arrived. So it's still the non-Jew's land. So the Gemara says, Ela Gabi Eved, Demata's money, Shrikla Neymar. So the Gemara says, okay, this is a nice pshat, everything is explained, but by an Eved, do you need to, the case is too simple. In other words, we said already, if a Jew sells the slave to a non-Jew, he goes free. So you're telling me he borrowed money from the non-Jew, he put it in the document, and then it says that if I don't pay, if the debt is not paid by this and this date, the slave belongs to you, and the date passed, so the slave goes free. It seems too pashut. So the Gemara revises understanding of the Brises. So the Gemara says both Brises are talking about a time was placed in it. Both Brises are talking about the time has not yet arrived. The Lokasha, there's no contradiction between the two Brises. Halagup Bala Peira, meaning with respect to the first Brisa with the Eved, so the document provides that the Eved will be transferred to the non-Jew if the Jew defaults on the loan. That alone is Machai of freedom.
Right away.
In other words, you have entered into an agreement with a non-Jew under which the slave could belong to the non-Jew. So the slave goes free right away. The second case with the land where the non-Jew was the owner of the land and borrowed money from the Jew, and there's a date certain when the land will revert to the Jew, there we don't say it's the Jew's land before the date, because even after the date passes, the only thing the Jew acquires in the land is the right to payroll. In other words, the Jew is never acquiring title to land. He's acquiring the right to the payroll of the land, the produce from the land. That's all he's getting. The land will still belong to the non-Jew. So then that's what the Gemara says. The land is his for Dina Mamastro. Got it? All right. We have so much time, obviously. Anyway, so again, we have two brises, right? Okay. You got it. Okay. So the first brise is saying the Jew enters into an agreement with the non-Jew that if I don't repay this debt by March 1st, my slave Tiberius will belong to you. Right away, he goes free because I've entered into an agreement to sell my Eved Kanani to a non-Jew. In the second brisa is where the non-Jew is borrowing money from the Jew, and the agreement is that if the goy doesn't pay back the debt by a date certain, then the land belongs to the Jew. So the land is not considered the Jew's property. Why? Even after the date certain, the only thing the Jew acquires is the right to the payroll, not the right title to land. That's the agreement they entered into. So I'm going to eat the payroll and presumably eat the payroll until the debt is paid off. But that's the deal. Okay, now, one more explanation that we got to call today. The top line in Bel and Mal. The Ebayt Ema, or else I could say, B'shulav al-manat l'mashkino v'l'mashkino. I could say differently. The case with the field is that the non-Jew says to the Jew that if I don't pay by date certain, you can come and seize this land. You have the right to seize the land. But the Jew never sees the land. In other words, he has to do something. He can't sit on his laurels, maybe go to court or something like that. He never did that. That's what he's saying. Let's see the Rashi quickly, and that'll be it. It says, Hadassat the Yonchalavo Bikokavim Ni Israel, Amanachi im Loet Problems Montloni, Bo Mashkinini ni Kar Kazu, who is go and sees the security, Utenshal Kabi yours, Bahadikani Pturman Maiser, calls Manchla by Yisrael Mishno. When he says Ptur Maiser, as long as the Jew hasn't done anything, so it's still a non-Jew. The Apple Gab the Matzabane, Habi Bechazkar Bekokabim, Maya Yisrael no tell Chelik the payroad, Pturman Maiser. It's still Pturman Maiser. But Gabi Eved, Kiai Gavna, and by the Eved in the same situation, he says that the Jew says to the non-Jew, if I don't pay you back by date certain, go and seize my Eved. Tansur Rabbanim Yisrael. There, the Chachamim put a penalty on the Jew. The Av Pishol Mishkano Beit Kuchavim, even though the non-Jew has not seized Tiberius the Eved Kanani, Adayin the Eved Zeh, Tansur Ho Vavar Zmano Velo Para. The time has passed and he has the right to do it. So the Eved goes free. Right. That's the way it sounds like. Okay. Let me just end this one second.